Hi there, and welcome to this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And hi, it's me, Jennifer Digman.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
And I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. And we're following up from the last episode, last conversation we had regarding Disability Pride Month here in July. And we are so grateful and honored to have with us today, because we can talk about disability and everything, but how do you talk to children about disabilities? And so, if you recall from a few episodes, like last year, I believe it was, we had Maximus on our podcast for the MS Walk. But today, we are joined by Maximus's mom, Erica. Erica, thank you for coming over.
Thank you guys for having me. I'm super excited.
Excited to have this conversation. And how old is Maximus now?
Maximus is 9. He'll be 10 in August.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, that's like a whole decade.
Yeah. Thanks for pointing that out. I appreciate it. I don't feel old at all now.
But he's a decade older. You haven't aged a year.
That's very kind of you. Thank you. Thank you, Dan.
I covered well.
Oh, good heavens.
So, looking at this as we talk about Disability Pride Month, and I think that's a great conversation, just that we have MS, we have a disability, visual, invisible. But it is a question then, we just go through life, but it's like, you're the one, I mean, obviously there's tons of parents listed, but you're the one, you have a 10-year-old son. And it's just like, it's just a question of how do you talk to children about disabilities in terms of, like, especially, just any disability. I mean, Maximus seems to be pretty, at least, open to things. I mean, he does the MS walk every year. And so this isn't unheard of. I mean, what was it like for you? I mean, how do you as a parent do it, deal with it? I mean, obviously we're here to talk about it, but I mean, these aren't necessarily parenting skills that are just like first and foremost in a parenting book.
Sure. Yeah. I think that we've been fortunate enough to know you guys for a very long time. Mm-hmm. So, I think we have a certain comfort level with you that then translated over to Maximus, where you just were friends of ours. But you think about it, we're out and about, and we see somebody else in a wheelchair, or we see somebody else that has some form of a handicap. And I think that the normal reaction is to shush a question of, what's wrong with that person? And you're like, well, no, we're not going to acknowledge this. We're not going to talk about it. Don't stare, don't look. But then you wonder, is that really the best way to handle that? Or is there something else I should be doing as a parent to engage, to recognize, to start the conversation with him, to not shy away from it, but to embrace it and learn from it? So I think that would be the question to pose to you guys is, you're out and about, Jennifer's in a wheelchair, so a little more obvious that there's some form of disability. How does a parent whose child is looking handle that situation of the kid staring or asking questions?
And we often talk about multiple sclerosis. No two cases are the same. And I really think with disability, no two people are going to answer that the same. I've been a wheelchair user for going on, over 20 years, 22 years. And I'm comfortable if someone asks, little kids, they're curious. I don't think that is a representation of the parent. If a child asks me, why are you in that, I'll answer. I certainly don't want anyone to stare at me. Be an adult, be a child. I'm a little more understanding for kids because they're curious. But I think every person's going to handle that differently. I'm I have enough where I will answer those questions and I'm not bothered. But sometimes I'm sure with everyone, I just don't want to deal with a little kid asking. But, you know, Dan and I don't have children, as we've talked about in the past. So I imagine I would be good for the first five questions. But I've heard kids ask questions nonstop. But I mean, how about you, Dan?
I think a lot depends on the situation where it is. I mean, it's because then it's a question of what situation are we? See, now I'm just talking out loud, but you know, I'm processing this because it's just like, it's a question of does Maximus, do children stare at other people anyway? And it's just a question then of how quick are we as grown-ups to correct a child, or are we more conscious of it if we notice something and see the child staring? If a person has a visible disability, are we quick to overreact versus if it was just a person that doesn't have a visible disability, would you even say don't stare? Are we trained that way to just say, or is it really probably just really just open it up to a conversation, just say, what you looking at there, buddy? You know, yeah. And how does he respond to do it? Because I think that's the one thing, is just to engage because kids are curious, right? Mm-hmm. So they're going to look and things that, because it's not normally the number of times we go to the airport or we're at the store, and there's always, it is the little kids that, you know, I see staring at Jennifer in her wheelchair, and you know, and then the parents was like, yeah, and they're just like, they pull them right away and say, just don't, you know, it's just like then all of a sudden, does that make it more a taboo kind of thing rather than just something normal?
Right. Like I would think, yeah, you don't want to stare, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want to stare at anybody. I don't want somebody staring at me and oddly, because that feels uncomfortable. But I'll agree. I think that if you shush it right away, you're creating more curiosity. You're creating more of a taboo subject of like, well, I can't talk about this. Mm-hmm. Like, I see this person. Clearly, there's something going on, but I can't talk about it. And I think in this day and age, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but having continued conversations and education and, you know, having open conversations with children especially is important, because it'll hopefully help them as they grow and become adults to better handle people who are not like them, right?
Absolutely.
And I worry also that if a parent tells a child, oh, shh, don't do that or don't talk about that, is it going to put a stigma of fear,
yeah,
to disability or uncomfortableness? And what is it? 1 in 4 Americans has a disability. I think that's the statistic right now. And I don't know how many of that is visible disability, but we're everywhere and we're a big portion of the population. And I think that if you can do it, I mean, they're kids, but you know, I think sometimes we go to stores and adults stare at me. And I'd like to say, oh, you're staring at me because I'm hot.
of course they are, Jennifer.
Well, thank you, Erica. But I don't think that's why they're staring. I think disability makes people uncomfortable.
Definitely.
And if it makes adults uncomfortable, then that's strange to me. But, you know, 20 years ago, I didn't have a ton of experience with disability. And kids, like you said, the more they're around it, or the more that they're not thinking it's a taboo subject, because disability is one identity we all can inhabit over the course of our life.
Well, it is different. I mean, just in the sense that, you know, if how often do kids look at another person, another adult, because they're wearing glasses? Mm. And then it's just like, well, the glasses are just an assistive device to help a person see. And I think just because we're sitting here at this table and all three of us are wearing glasses. That's just part of the norm. I mean, little kids wear glasses and right. stuff, but I think it is just seeing the wheelchair or somebody in a walker, things like that. It's different. So how do we normalize the visible disability? Because obviously, you know, is it okay to call them kids? See, there you go. Educating the adults. Is it okay to call them kids or are they children? You know, the youth, infants. What other thesaurus word can I use to describe some? But it is. It's just like, what is it we're looking at? Or it's like, how do we define that?
And then disability doesn't just happen to adults.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There are kids right. that are using walkers. There are kids in wheelchairs. See, I'm calling them kids, Dan.
Okay, thank you.
And so to handle or to feel comfortable with adults, you know, somebody in their class could be with a disability. So that's a really good question, is just to make them in. And I love now that we'll be watching TV, and I would say in an hour of television, we will see at least one commercial. Mm-hmm. We're old school. We still watch television commercials. Even if you're streaming television and you're cheap, you may see some commercials. But you'll see a character in a commercial in an assistive device mm-hmm. using a wheelchair with a walker. So it's getting normalized.
Well, and I think that because we are just talking the visible disabilities mm-hmm. because it's like no one would notice anything for me. I mean, I don't think kids will process that to notice something like that. So
yeah,
it's a great question, Erica.
Well, and I look at, so Max does have a few kids in his school that, you know, have some form of a disability. And the funny thing is, in Max's mind, every kid with a disability has is autistic or something along those lines. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's a start, but that isn't the umbrella that anybody with a disability, mm-hmm. that is their disability. So I think there's also value in being able to not shush the child who's asking questions or wondering why somebody's in a wheelchair, because it opens up the opportunity to have the conversation about the several different types mm-hmm. of disability. You know, we're talking visual disabilities, but we've also talked about, you know, the ones that are unseen that so many people deal with. And yeah, I think it's important to embrace those conversations and not mm-hmm. to shy away from them, but to also educate yourself as a parent on how to have those conversations mm-hmm. with them.
And it's not something scary. Dan and I lead a support group here in Michigan, and I'm, as we've talked ad nauseum about me rolling, when we have a new member come to the group and heaven forbid they're bringing their family, I always warn them, okay, I'm in a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. I don't want your family to freak out and think just because you have multiple sclerosis, you'll end up in a wheelchair. Or I don't want to make the children, oh, mommy's going to end up in a wheelchair. Yeah. Daddy's going to. And so I think that those conversations are important, and just to see people. You know, Governor Abbott in Texas, he's a wheelchair user and he's governor of a state, for heaven's sakes. You can still lead a very productive life. You know, the quality of your life shouldn't be changed because of your disability. So, yeah. But
I'm just processing, yeah, how else would you talk to children, to kids about people, yeah.
Well, I also had the thought, so when we first started hanging out with you guys, I'm a hugger, mm-hmm. right? I love hugging people. And I found myself hesitating, like, is it okay to give Jennifer a hug? Like, she's in a wheelchair. I know, like, she's still a human. I'm sure right. she still enjoys the, you know, the physical embrace of a hug. But, like, is that okay? Is that normal? And I just did it because yeah. that's who I am.
Well, and I appreciate that because I'm a hugger, too. It's awkward, though.
Right.
It is. It's more our pastor at church. She's a hugger. And when I see her at the end of service, I'll turn off my chair and she will just come in for the biggest hug. But that's something that's like a two-step process to hug myself. And I'm not sure with other wheelchair users, but turn off the chair so you don't run yourself.
Well, I think that, and I going back to Maximus, because I do that. And he is the biggest lover there is, right? Mm-hmm. He loves to love on people. That he saw me, has seen me give you hugs and embrace you. That's just part of his normal mm-hmm. routine now, which I think is awesome. Because I would hope that it makes him that much more comfortable in other situations to not shy away from mm-hmm. being who he is. Even with somebody who doesn't look like him.
Yes, and that is true. I you know, free hugs. We see free hugs just because I'm in a wheelchair doesn't mean I. And then because I don't use my left arm as much, you'll get a strong right arm hug. It'll be a little cumbersome around the wheelchair. Yeah.
And I think it all comes down to the education or just the comfortability. Because I know that people don't know all the answers. Even me, you know, I have a wife that uses a wheelchair, then, you know, and I have, you know, the invisible stuff. But it's just like, you know, I don't want to say that I stare at other people in wheelchairs, but it just becomes more like, are you one of us?
Right.
You know, it's just like, because then you're just like, is that person, because you can't identify a person whether they have MS, but it's just like, but at the same time, if they're in, does that make me, now all of a sudden I'm like opening up my ignorance, but it's just like, you know, or it's like if I'm simplifying it and I don't want to insult, but it's just like if we're in traveling and somebody's wearing an Iowa Hawkeye sweatshirt, I'm going to stare because I feel you, we're brethren, you know, and that, but it's just like, and so then all of a sudden is, and am I equating Iowa Hawkeye sweatshirts to people who use wheelchairs? But it is just those things where it's like, I'm not staring because it's odd. It's because I want to know, is this a conversation I can have? Just like, you know,
mm-hmm. And I feel bad for people that don't feel comfortable with kids asking them questions, or again, you may not want to always answer questions, but I'm not famous. It's not like paparazzi or something. I can take a few minutes and answer a question. Or I love it when we use our awesome van that my car drives into, that my wheelchair drives into, because the ramp folds out. And somebody will say, oh, that's really neat. I'm like, again, I'm a gander who likes to talk. And I'll answer all kinds of questions, because the more you can educate, and if people are interested. And I don't want to give the impression that every person with a disability is that friendly or willing to give their time, but I am.
Well, and two, I mean, and could you bring that up as far as the wheelchair and the handicap accessible van that's dropping? It's just like that when you see other grown-ups staring at the van dropping and the ramp coming out, more often than not, it's other people who have vans just like it or who were curious because they have a mother, a father who's going to need this. And so it just, and so then it's just like, you know, for the kids who stare, I mean, if it opens up the conversation, either with the person who they're staring at or just with parents, I mean, yeah, just the education.
Mm-hmm. And with Maximus, is it something, would it be mean, or would it be a good lesson to teach as a parent to say, Now, if you had a disability, would you want people to stare at you? Or is that too harsh to say to a 10-year-old?
I don't think so. I say it to him all the time. You know, like really, it's, I'll tell him regularly, I'm only doing this to help you become a better adult. That is my goal as a parent. That's my job. So you're having a hard time with something. Now put yourself in that person's shoes. So I think that's absolutely okay and acceptable to, at least for me, as a parent, I would feel just fine looking at him and saying, okay, it's okay to acknowledge this person, but let's take a step back and put yourself there. And how would you feel if somebody was acting the way you are towards, you know, towards you? So I think that's a fantastic way to talk about it and to acknowledge it.
Yeah, because it is acknowledging, and to ignore it doesn't make it go away.
Right.
So, you know, I think about disability and disability pride, and I think it's a wonderful month to acknowledge some of the great things that disabled people have done. But I also think it's important to see in ourselves, the disability community, look what we can do for ourselves. But I don't ever want to be abrasive or, you know, rub someone wrong for, you know, if somebody holds a door for me, I don't want to be like, oh, I'm disabled, I can do this for myself. And you and I, Dana, we've had that conversation before, that courtesy is, it's courtesy. Just treat me like a normal person. And if a child wants to hold the door for me because they see I'm struggling, or they want to open the door because they're nice, I don't ever want someone to be offended by that. I think that's a teachable moment for that disabled person. Like, okay, just somebody's trying to be nice to you. But that's a conversation saved for another day, because our society is so, you know, there are people that would be.
Well, I think then that's a chance you take as a parent of a young son, that it's just like, because in my head I'm thinking there's no problem in just even saying, you know, even I was shy when I was a kid, so I wouldn't want to do it, but it's like, why don't you go talk to them? You know, because then all of a sudden they're just like, find out that they're normal people. But at the same time, that quote unquote normal person could become very offended, and so it's just like, and that's the downside, is you don't know how that person will respond. But at the same time, whether or not they have a disability, you know, they'd be just a person without a disability that would just be a crappy person anyway.
Right. So.
And this conversation's important because we have nieces, and we have Maximus, and we have a nephew. And when he was little, it was important that he knew to be open about our disability, about my disability, and it helps. You don't know what you don't know. And so I think that this is an important conversation, especially in the month of July. And hopefully, you know, Maximus will just continue being an awesome, you know, advocate for his friends with disabilities.
In these types of conversations, is having us as friends, or, you know, and somebody who has a visible disability, has that made it easier as a parent to have these kinds of conversations?
Oh, I absolutely think so. Yeah. Because we have a normal friendship, right? You're not limited necessarily by your disability, and we just have always embraced you as just our friends. So I think there is a certain normalcy that comes with it, that Max probably has an advantage over some other kids who don't have friends or family who have the physical visible disability. But I think back to the beginning of our conversation when Dan said, taking the minute to say, hey, what are you looking at, buddy? You know, and it's not shushing them. It's not saying, hey, stop. We're not going to look at this person. Mm-hmm. It's acknowledging like, yeah, I see it. What do you see? And then it opens the door to be able to talk about it and to then lead into, okay, would you like it if somebody was staring at you? Probably not, but we can acknowledge it. We can see that there's something that's going on with this person, and let's just maybe go the extra mile to be helpful, or, you know, if they need us to grab something or open a door, that we can do that for them, even though we would normally do that for somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Right. Good.
And in my grand world, I think, okay, all these young children who are seeing disability for the first time, maybe they're going to say, oh, I want to figure out why Jennifer can't walk or why Dan's hands are always numb. I'm going to go into science, or I'm going to go into nursing. I'm going into medicine because I want to help these people. You know, my grandpa had a stroke. I want to go into neurology. You know, these are not to get all Whitney Houston on us. I believe the children are the future.
Absolutely.
Like, we educate them now and they'll remember this. Yeah. And that's why those exchanges, those interactions need to be positive, because that's what they'll remember and what we'll remember too.
Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking where you say, you know, to open up the conversation with him and say, what are you looking at? And just other things, and to say, you know, if you had that, would you want people to stare? Mm-hmm. And to take it even a step further and say, would you want them staring at you? But it's like, what would you, if you had that and someone was staring, what would you want them to do? Would you want them to come up and talk to you? Would you ask him a question? I mean, just to make it really just add more to put him, her in that situation to say, okay, well, I mean, just because I don't think, and I'm not a child psychologist, that's not my training, right? But it is just like, how do you just engage the kids to really think about it? But I suppose, you know, if they're 5 years old, because I mean, you know, certainly he's 10.
Right.
What you would be saying now is a lot different than what you would have been doing when he was 5
For
years
sure.
old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think as a parent, you know what your children can handle. You know how to talk to them. I think the important thing is just to remember to have the conversation, right? Not to shy away from it, not to pretend that it's not there, because it's there.
It's there.
So, you know, however it is that you need to talk to your child, have it. Don't shush them. Don't act like it's this big thing that you can't talk about. Like,
because ignoring does not make it go away.
Right.
So you have to approach it. It's been a great conversation.
It has. Yes.
Thank you.
So much. Did we answer a question? Yeah. It's just like, how do we? Yeah,
I think we answered the question. I think, you know, we just came down to the fact of you talk about it
and everyone's going to handle it differently. Mm-hmm. But, you know, some people are jerks. Some people are super kind. That's human nature. Mm-hmm. And everyone's going to handle it differently. But I think more often than not, people want to talk about their disability. And we need to, maybe COVID did a little bit where we went into our shells and we weren't as used to talking, but now we're out. It's been a few years and we're getting back into to kindness and to conversation. Better days.
Amen. Erica, thank you for coming over and having this conversation.
Thank
this
you, guys. Really well. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. And we will have more information about having conversations with your children about people with disabilities in the liner notes. And we also have a link then back to when Maximus made his appearance interviewing us on our podcast. I'm in the liner notes. So until next time,
I'm Jennifer Digman and I'm rolling.
I'm Dan Digman and I'm walking.
Together, we are moving forward.